Good morning, and welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And it's Monday. Welcome to suddenly, Monday.
Suddenly it's Monday.
Monday, January 9th, 2017.
Colleges are back in session.
I will happily say that I haven't made this 16 for 17 mistake yet. Not at all.
For the new year.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, part of that is because my computer like automatically fills in the date when I get it started. So that's really helped.
Right.
But otherwise, I haven't said 2016.
You know, for anybody over 14 or 15... Nobody, yeah. Even you, are over 15. It seems like the millennium from to 2000 was not that long ago.
Right.
In a couple of years, it'll be 20 years. It happened 17 years ago.
Right.
Doesn't seem that long, does it?
No.
Time flies.
It does.
When you're past 30, time starts to go by fast.
That's because you're having fun. So... Well, today we're going to talk about, so this week is going to be a, it's sort of a hodgepodge week. We have
sort
topics
of
for,
bag, yeah.
the topics for this week are going to be a little bit varied, but it's because of information that we've received from other people, some things that have been
right.
in the news, some things that have been asked of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to sort of focus this week on a variety of things. And today we're going to talk for just a little bit about something in response to some events
episode,
from
right.
the end of last week
mm-hmm.
that occurred here in Florida, just about maybe 3 hours from where we're sitting right now.
A couple of hours away, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it was last Friday, there was a, or the end
yes.
of last week, there
right,
was
last
a
week.
There was a shooting in a Fort Lauderdale airport.
Fort Lauderdale airport.
And I believe 5 people were killed right. and 6 or so other people, 6 or 7 mm-hmm. people were injured.
Right.
And we wanted to talk about it because there was also an article, a really interesting article,
mm-hmm.
That talked about the impact of traumatic events and fear, not necessarily on the person that experienced it, him or herself,
right.
the experience, you know, somebody that was injured or something like that, but actually bystanders, people who witnessed what happened. And it's really important because, you know, when we think about, and as I'm saying this, I realize how unbelievable it is to even say something like this. But, you know, 5 people were killed, 6 people were injured.
Right.
So we have an incident involving, you know, 11 injuries, at least, physical injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think about that in the scheme of some of the other horrific events that, you know, the one in Orlando that happened last year that...
Right.
You know, I think there was 50 were 50 people
50
killed.
Victims, yeah.
It seems a smaller scale, but what's really important to consider, and the reason that we're going to talk about it today, is because those were 11 people that were physically injured, but anyone that was in the airport at the
mm-hmm.
time could potentially suffer from something we call post-traumatic stress disorder,
right.
PTSD.
Right.
And I think that we often associate PTSD with military veterans. We associate it with people who were the victims of different kinds of abuse and things like that. But something, an event like what happened last week could absolutely create and elicit a PTSD type of response
right.
in somebody, even if they were just in the airport and were in the area when it happened.
That's right. We know that... we know what it does. We know what trauma,
mm-hmm.
the experience of trauma, does to victims.
Right.
Okay. But now we're talking about what it does to observers.
Right.
Of aggressive acts or violent acts. Right?
Absolutely.
So, and of course, that's what we know from the soldiers too, because the guys who come, soldiers who come, not just men now, but soldiers who come back from war zones, they have watched,
mm-hmm.
they have witnessed. They may not have been physically injured,
right?
But they were in the vicinity
mm-hmm.
and watched other people get injured, and what this article says is that may have that may serve to have the same effect
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. as being a victim right. of one of these violent crimes.
Yeah.
So you it think of the Boston, you think of the Boston bombing right. you know, a few years ago at the Boston Marathon. Mm-hmm. All those people who were close to
yeah.
close to the explosions.
Yeah, absolutely.
All could have been affected by this.
Well, it expands. Interestingly, it expands even farther because we have some accounts of PTSD symptoms for people who, you know, remember back, we were talking about that how long ago the turn of the millennium yeah, was, right, right. but September 11th right. in 2001, oh, yeah. you know, many people have been traumatized by that simply by seeing the videos,
over
you know, people
over.
Who
That's
weren't
right.
even there, you know, if we remember back in those days. It was repeatedly aired the right. the explosions
the planes
hitting the buildings. Everything was repeatedly shown right. over and over and over again, and a lot of people from all over the country have been affected from that.
I don't think anybody could ever remember what. I don't think you'll ever forget the planes hitting the buildings,
right.
but also the buildings slowly right. crumbling
right.
to the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, I certainly wouldn't. Say that I had PTSD from yeah. that experience from a psychological perspective, and certainly it affected me, and it's traumatic and everything. But I know too that whenever I see a large passenger plane banking and turning, you immediately go to that place.
It, right.
But you were talking about soldiers who weren't necessarily in the combat itself, but kind of witnessed things happening. Right. Interestingly, some people are publishing some research that looks at those soldiers and individuals who are flying the drones that are,
right.
you know, bombing different places and everything.
Mm-hmm. They're not people, physically present.
They may be miles and miles,
miles
and miles away.
Right, right.
But because of, you know, their actions, you know, we see it in sometimes in commanders mm-hmm. where the commanders are sending people out
mm-hmm. they're
to,
not,
to
they're
battle.
Not, right.
They're not there physically. They don't even necessarily see it happening, right. but they know that they are responsible for sending these people out. So PTSD is much more pervasive
prevalent, right.
and prevalent than we usually think it is, because we tend to have such a restricted view of it.
And this article that was about the brain changes that occur
Correct.
In PTSD.
Right.
And that, I think, is the remarkable feature of
Right.
this study, is that we know that PTSD changes the brain.
Right.
That's we know that in victims or soldiers. But this article is saying it could change the brain in observers
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
What we don't know is how much is enough. How much
right.
do you need in order
right.
to have documented brain changes?
Right.
I mean, the research simply isn't in on that.
Right.
We just don't know.
Yeah. So if you have... go ahead. You look like you had something important to say.
Well, I think of children who see violence
and,
you know, domestic violence.
Yeah.
You know, children who view domestic violence. Prior to age 3, you may not remember it
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
of infantile amnesia. But at what age, and that could have lifelong effects
mm-hmm.
on their brain development.
Absolutely.
Is just observing domestic violence.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it's imperative that if, you know, certainly if you've experienced trauma,
mm-hmm.
But even if you've witnessed trauma, and interestingly, I'd like, it's interesting to when we're interpreting the diagnostic criteria that's listed for PTSD,
mm-hmm.
because it says experienced, exposed to, or were confronted with
right, right.
something that's life-threatening.
Yeah, it doesn't have to happen to you directly.
Right,
yeah.
right. And mm-hmm. that's what I always work to teach my students, is that when that piece that says confronted with
mm-hmm.
information about it, then,
right.
then now we're talking about, sometimes we could just be told about something and it could trigger a response. Some of our brains are much more susceptible to it than others. Some things that we know is that if you do have a history of trauma, you are much more susceptible to it than someone who hasn't ever been exposed to trauma.
Right. And that's, and we mentioned earlier, is how much is enough. And it probably varies from individual to
mm-hmm.
One of the things we know is that there were studies done with children who had early onset bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were shown violent pictures,
mm-hmm.
Accidents and trauma,
right.
dramatic episodes, their brains became much more active
right.
than the brains of children who didn't have
mm-hmm.
that diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So there are individual differences and variations. So if these things trouble you, mm-hmm. watching these events trouble you, it may be that you're a little more sensitive to it for right. some reason.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
be cautious.
Yeah. So if you've been exposed to something, if you experience mm-hmm. something directly, or if you've learned about something and you are ruminating over it, if right. you can't stop thinking about it, if you keep feeling triggered by thoughts of it or by things that are happening around you that make you, you know, kind of, again, trigger those thoughts, maybe good to see a therapist or to talk to a professional who's going to be able to help you work through that and help you find ways to cope with those so that you can sort of process it in a healthy way and move forward.
Right, because I think a lot of people are probably thinking, well, I'm weak, or it's a sign right. of weakness, or, yeah. you know, I shouldn't be, you know, nobody else is bothered by this the way I am. That's okay.
Yeah.
Because each of us can be bothered by a different amount. Right. So don't underestimate. If you're really troubled by something, doesn't matter what it is, talk to somebody about it.
Right.
It may be that you're just a little, you know, there are people who cannot watch scary movies
right.
because it has too profound, and other people laugh and enjoy it and they realize it's fiction.
Right.
But others cannot watch them.
Right.
So
we can't help often. We can't help the way that our brain responds to that
right.
stuff.
That's right.
And I mean, it is
an individual brain response.
And we can maybe one day we'll get into the brain chemistry and functioning right. behind this, but your brain responds to this before you really even realize that you're responding
right.
to
that's
it.
Right. It's a visceral, you know. That's why it's called a visceral response. Your insides respond
that's
before
right.
before you name it.
Yeah, so. When you the example I always use is that when you're in the woods, you're running before you know that there's a bear.
Right. That's right.
You are running and you're getting away before you realize that the bear is there.
And you're running in a different direction. Your body knows what to do.
That's right. So. But it doesn't process details as easily. So that's why, like in scary movies, we always joke about, you know, of course, whenever in a scary movie somebody's falling and mm-hmm. it's like, why didn't she just run?
Don't go in that room.
In reality, you're not going to make good decisions and you're not going to see that stump there that you're going to trip over. That stuff is going to happen.
But it really is. It amazes me because there are people who love scary movies because it arouses mm-hmm. them.
Right.
And there are others who can't watch them because it arouses
right.
them. So pay attention to your brain.
That's right.
Listen
yeah.
to it.
So all of that to say that your brain responds the way that your brain responds. You don't
right.
necessarily have control over that. So
right.
if you're responding to something and if you're experiencing some distress, make sure that you get some help and talk
yeah.
to somebody so that you can build some skills to cope with it.
And don't be embarrassed.
Yeah,
goodness.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, that is it for today. Again, we got a packed week scheduled and ready for you. And I'm going to go ahead and tease it.
No.
We have a really, really
you,
great, exciting announcement that I'm saving everything up for it for Friday.
Friday.
But it's going to be really exciting.
No
so,
impulse control.
No,
okay.
at all. It's exciting.
All right.
So we'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great day.
Good day.
Stay happy and healthy. And we'll see you in the morning.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.